Sounds of America and live from the G&B Show Studio. This is your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
Welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one, the only mystifying Oracle of Radio, your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show. Demon Hunter!
Ghost Man, have you ever had a feeling of Vuja Day?
Vuja Day? Deja vu!
That sense that you've never done something before.
That's right. Hey! Smells like Sunday night again. That's because it is, Demon Hunter.
That's right. Again, already.
Only at the home of the Mystifying Oracle Radio, your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show. It's epic. Woo-hoo! Epic show. Special thanks to all our carriers. Hopefully they're still our carriers. 102.7 FM The Hog, Planet Paranormal, Stitcher, Smart Radio, and the new Action Audio Apps. Guys, they want to know, are you listening? Check them out. Action Audio Apps. .net. Be sure to check those guys out, Demon Hunter. Yeah.
I certainly will. I feel like I've been reminded of them again and again.
Especially tonight only. And again and again, reminded over and over. Yeah, guys, we had a little bit of problems before the show. Hopefully we got them fixed for you. Welcome to live radio. And more importantly, cost-effective radio.
And for those of you who aren't regular listeners to us, expect this. Yeah. It's live radio.
But it's fun. Bring the whole family.
It's fun. Bring them all in.
It's cheap and easy.
We have balloons for the kids. I know it's radio, but it's, you know.
Yeah, well, whatever. Tonight's guest, Demon Hunter.
Ghost Man.
Tonight's guest.
Yes.
Waiting. Tonight's guest, guys. Author of the critically acclaimed, award-winning young adults books, Edgar Fonce Hunt for a House to Haunt. Also known for the screenplay turned sci-fi adventure novel, Next Stop, Earth. And of course, from his work on the Sci-Fi Channel's hit series, Ghost Mine, our longtime friend, good buddy, Patrick Doyle stops by, guys. He'll be in studio tonight to tell us all the inside scoop of his new book, Ghost from the Ground Up, and all his work on hunting down the ghost in the ghost mines on the Sci-Fi Channel. Tonight, producer, author, director, Patrick Doyle.
Patrick.
Gotta like it. Drink it up, buddy. Patrick Doyle, good friend of the show, guys. Love Patrick.
He's always welcome here.
We knew him when he was a wee lad. No, not a wee lad, but before he was TV famous.
Yes. Back in the days, before we all had our TV jaunts.
TV jaunts, like Edgar Fonce. House to Haunt. It's a book he did. I remember when he signed a couple copies of the books and sent them out to us. You remember that?
We did. We gave them away.
Yeah, we did. We gave them away.
I wish I had those now. He's famous now, man.
Gave them away on presents on the show. I still got one. If the kid didn't tear it up. This is for the kids, right?
That's right. That's things like books that, that were given to us by famous people. What do we need those for?
Exactamundo, my friend. So anyway, guys, we did go live, about 7 minutes ago. And it's so hard being on these networks now, Demon Hunter, because we don't know when to take our breaks when our time's off. It's beautiful. What a beautiful thing.
It's beautiful.
Yes, it is. But what were we talking about? We're talking about the noisy neighbors we had.
Yes, we were. Your mariachi band versus my show tunes and opera.
See? Hey, what was your favorite Halloween mask?
Halloween mask. The one I remember best as a child was we made a Yoda mask.
You made one?
Yeah, paper mache.
You were one of those kids.
My mother and I worked hard on it. I remember the first one collapsed in on itself and we had to redo it.
Did you suffocate?
And paper mache, perfect for Yoda. Very lumpy and veiny.
Oh! I'm not going to do it at all.
Don't do it. We're on real radio now, yeah. Sean. I love setting them up so you can't knock them down.
Well, do you remember the ones I'm talking about? The ones when we were little, they'd come in the box and it had the plastic mask with the cheapest
rubber. The one I remember most of that.
Yeah.
was Casper the Friendly Ghost.
Yeah, Casper.
Oh, good grief.
That was the thanks, Charlie. That was the one that everybody knew, though. That was like the cult classic.
But that, I remember having it.
Yeah. Well, I never had it. We could afford that.
Well, I also remember hating that elastic strap that broke every single time in the middle of the night. You'd put on the mask, and halfway through the night, the strap would break on the back, and you'd have to hold the mask in front of your face when you walk up to the house.
Why was you wearing it in the middle of the night? Were you trick-or-treating like 4 or 5?
No, yeah, we didn't go trick-or-treating until the sun went down, man.
Oh, yeah, but I didn't know if you were up. You said middle of the night.
Well, no, I was a kid. Middle of the night was like 8 o'clock.
Right. That's another thing. Remember in the good old days... I feel like a lemonade commercial now. The old days when we used to be able to trick-or-treat. Trick-or-treating didn't start till 8:30 at night. 8:30.
Yeah, if you went out before 6, you were a sissy.
Yeah, sissy pants.
Yeah. Yes.
Absolutely. And anyway, I guess my favorite mask was I found a Woody Woodpecker mask, and I loved it. I kept it for years.
I remember those. Those were very cool. I also, I remember my nephew had Scooby-Doo.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
High class, buddy.
Yep. And I also remember I got very upset when they stopped making the, like, you remember you bought it and you got the mask and you got that plastic costume that you'd put on. I got very upset when they stopped making the costume look like the character, and they just put a picture of the character on the front of the costume.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was cheesy, man. They took away
I hated that.
Yeah, it would just be a piece of like a garbage bag, and you had the three ties in the back.
Yep, and it was acceptable when it looked like the costume, but once they put it together in such a way that... it was just a picture of, like, the Scooby-Doo gang with Scooby-Doo in the front.
Right.
And it would say Scooby-Doo in the top, and then you get the Scooby-Doo mask. I'm like, who are you trying to fool?
Do you ever remember the feeling of, like, no matter what you did, you always got the spit between the plastic in your mouth and you got all over your face? Do you remember that? Because you'd talk.
I didn't, Sean, but then again, I didn't slobber inside my mask.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying, you know, it'd get hot and stuff. You'd get the moisture and stuff, too. You'd pick up your face would, like, break out. You'd pull the mask up at night. Your face would be all red and stuff.
I do recall. I do recall that those were very hot masks, Sean.
And those were the days where that plastic was sharp as razor knives, man. If you broke that plastic off those masks, your eye's gone.
Yeah, those kids didn't get who ate that bad candy. They didn't have razor blades in the candy. They just accidentally cut their tongues on a piece of their mask.
See? How'd you lose that eye, little Bobby?
I went as Woody Woodpecker for Halloween.
My Casper mask.
Candy bar.
Yeah, my Casper mask. Anyway, yeah, that was my favorite. And I remember we'd come home. What's your favorite memory after trick-or-treating when you would get home?
Let's see. The years that my brother didn't steal my candy?
Yeah.
Well, I do have, not my favorite memory, but I do have one of those sad memories that turned into a good memory for me now that I'm a grown up.
Good, sad.
And that was a year that I got really sick on Halloween and couldn't go trick-or-treating.
Oh, no.
And my mother made my brother go around and do my trick-or-treating for me. So all the houses he'd already hit. Then he had to go around a second time and ask for trick-or-treating because his brother was homesick and couldn't go trick-or-treating. And he brought me home the candy.
Double-fisted it. What a good brother.
I tell you, man. And maybe because we grew up in one of those neighborhoods where everybody knew everybody, you know, so they knew that, you know, they probably already knew I was homesick.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
So they, you know, they didn't question it. But if they didn't know, they knew that... they could call my mom the next day and say, was Ernie picking up candy for Nathan?
What would they do at that point, though? Would they make Ernie bring the candy back if you weren't? You know?
That's a good point. They probably would have made him do free chores in the yard to make up for it if he had actually lied.
You know, let my ADD kick in here. Since I brought back... Do you remember when we went to Gettysburg and we went up to... what was the rock wall when... those people found...
Chamberlain's Charge.
Chamberlain's Charge, and we got those rocks.
Yep.
And we, if longtime listeners of the show, know that these rocks, when we brought them home from the last day, it was the last Battle of Gettysburg or whatever, and these rock wall was stacked up to keep off, or for the troops could hide behind it, for the Confederates that were coming up the hill. These rocks that we have. Nathan, what happened when you took yours home? Didn't something happen?
I brought my rock home, and I kept hearing knocking on my door.
Knock, knocking.
Right. And I'd open the window, and there'd be nobody there.
And mine, the garage door kept coming up and down by itself. Brand new garage door, no problems with it. The guy couldn't...
Yeah, and you had said that you had left it on the table near the garage door opener.
I did. Absolutely did. And now... The rock was lost for probably 6 years. I couldn't find it. And my mom was going through an old box. It was in the attic, and she found the rock. It's sitting here. I'm looking to it. It's on the studio desk table with the microphone and everything. And all of a sudden, the last three shows, well, not last week, but the last couple shows, we've had audio issues. Huh?
Mm-hmm. And remember, Doug Semick of Ghostly Talk went with us on that trip. He brought home a rock, left it on his computer, and the computer melted down. Literally... melted down. The insides caught a fire and melted the computer.
You know, that's probably because he left his nasty channel on all night and the fan couldn't keep up with it. That dirty little man. Anyway, I was going over stuff this week to find stuff to talk about and everything. And we always come up with a weird, strange topic before we do the news and stuff like that. And I came across 10... extremely bizarre phobias.
10 extremely bizarre phobias.
Yeah, most 10 extremely bizarre phobias in the world. And I thought of this because you're always, you know, you're so scared of bunny rabbits, sharks.
Sharks and bunny rabbits are not the same thing, Sean.
I don't know.
I am afraid of sharks. Shark Week starts next week. It's the most horrifying week of television.
It's horrifying.
To come out.
Shark Week. It is pretty scary. They say sharks are docile, though.
Uh-huh.
Right next to your dead body. After they kill you, they're very nice.
Yes.
Anyway. Oh, well. It says we probably, Demon Hunter, all suffer from a minor phobia or two.
Okay.
It says some people's lives are virtually debilitated by their fears. We know that.
You know, I can't fall asleep in a room you're in. So, but that's from experience, okay, not a phobia.
Here's the first one. All right. Agoraphobia. Fear of crossing the street. Did you even know this existed?
I have heard of agoraphobia.
Agoraphobia. Agoraphobics have a fear of crossing streets, highways, and other thoroughfares, or a fear of themselves. Okay.
This a fear of themselves?
Yeah, fear of themselves and crossing the street, apparently. This, of course, makes it very difficult, a very difficult life to live comfortably in a city. The word.
Really, because if you live on a block, you can just... keep taking left turns, you're going to get home.
See? left, you do. Anyway, it helps people with jaywalking. Or crossing anywhere on the street. Even a designated intersection, this phobia is considered independent from the fear of cars.
So, okay.
Yeah, I thought that was weird. The next one, magicrophobia. Madrophobia. Is the fear,
fear of magic?
Fear of cooking. I think some of your wives might have had that in the past. I don't know. Ah!
That's how I stayed so much thinner than you over the years, Sean.
A lot of women have that, I think. No, I'm kidding. Not the ones that listen, though. The bizarre fear of cooking is called madrophobia, which comes from the Greek word magicrocus, which means a person's... Man, I'm botching these words up. I know. Which means a person skilled in cooking. This disorder can be... debilitating and potentially lead to unhealthy eating if one lives alone. Huh?
I'm scared already.
A lot of McDonald's there. Here's one that gets you, Demon Hunter. We talk about it all the time. Pediophobia. Pediophobia. Fear of dolls. Yeah. Pediophobia is the irrational fear of dolls. Not just scary dolls. All dolls. This has got me because you know I hate dolls.
They've got little souls inside them, and they're just waiting to wake up and come and get you. You know that, Sean.
That's what you're thinking of. All dolls, strictly speaking, the fear is a horror of a false representation of sentient beings. So it also usually includes robots and mannequins, but that's not true. I'm not scared of robots.
You're,
mannequins.
You're not scared of robots?
No, but mannequins are, you know, they're pretty kind of spooky. Pretty kind of.
Pretty kind of?
Yeah.
Especially when they stare at you.
Yeah. Says that these cats that have this, they don't want to go shopping because of it. So this phobia should not be confused with pedophobia or pediophobia, which is the fear of children, which I'm developing real quick now that I have my own. Sigmund Freud believed the disorder may spring from a fear of the doll coming to life and Right. Roboticist Masahira Mon expanded on that theory by stating that the more human-like something becomes, the more repellent it is to non-human aspects appear. Oh, no, no, no. The more repellent its non-human aspects appear. See? Yeah. My apologies, though, who suffer from the pediophobia from the picture above. And it's a huge picture of a doll with black eyes. I mean,
how did you manage to put that picture up there, Sean, without freaking yourself out?
It's freaking me out, man. It's freaking... That's weird, though, right? I think I'm more fear of dolls from going on investigations that we've been on in places that are truly haunted and waiting for something to possess a doll and it come kill us, you know?
That will never happen, Sean.
That would be my fear, Demon Hunter. What about deepnophobia? What do you think that is? I'll give you three choices. Deepnophobia is from, it's either the fear of being outside, the fear of riding a bike, or the fear of a dinner conversation.
I will say deepnophobia, you said?
Deepnophobia.
Deepnophobia.
Put that.
And I will go trying to think of the Latin word that you're starting it with. I will say a fear of being outside.
Number seven.
Really?
Deepnophobia, fear of dinner conversation. I figured the deep.
Oh, that's true, because that would be oh gosh. Now I've gone brain dead. I know what the fear of being outside is. Oh well. Go ahead.
I think the fear of the thing now is everybody's on computers. They forgot how to talk to one another. It says, now, admittedly, some dinner conversations can be very awkward, but some people are so terrified, Demon Hunter, Shadow Nation, of the idea of speaking to another person over dinner that they avoid dining out situations. Hmm?
Well, you know, I have gone to dinner situations with you, and I'm always afraid of what you're going to say.
Well, so. Yeah, especially when I get a couple beers in me. You never know. That's a secret.
Agoraphobia. That's what I was thinking of, the fear of outside.
What's agoraphobia?
That's the fear of going outside.
Oh, so going outside is agoraphobia. Nice. Nice. Hey, did
threw
we
that
do,
one in there.
Yeah, absolutely. We already did tonight's guest, or was that the last segment that we botched up?
We already did tonight's guest, but Sean, listen to that.
Oh.
You know what that means.
I do. I don't hear anything, but...
You don't hear anything? Oh, how about now?
Uh-oh. Now I hear it. I'm still listening.
Well, Sean, that means it's time for us to take our two-second break so that the folks over at 102.7 The Hog can fit in those commercials that everybody loves so much.
All right.
And we'll be right back after this.
Hey, welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one, the only Mystifying Oracle of Radio, your Ghostman and Demon Hunter show, where we're talking about the world's 10 most bizarre phobias. Huh? We just did the fear of dining at a dinner conversation. I couldn't believe that was one, but it was.
I you know what? I should have gone with it. I didn't.
Say?
Oh, what are you doing, Nathan? What are you thinking these days?
Okay, one more. Isotrophobia.
Okay, do I get choices with this one?
You do. The fear of cars, the fear of death, or the fear of mirrors? Esoptrophobia. Yeah. Fear of cars, fear of death, fear of mirrors.
Esoptrophobia.
Yeah.
Fear of, and my choices again?
It was fear of cars, fear of death, or the fear of mirrors.
I will go with mirrors.
Of course you will, because I did my voice thing. Fear of mirrors. See, I tipped you off. We'd be good at like Family Feud or Jeopardy or something like that, because we've done radio. It is. It's a fear of mirrors in the broad sense. A more specifically, the fear of being put into contact with the spiritual world through a mirror.
Okay.
Yeah. Sufferers experience undue anxiety even though they realize their fear is irrational. Because their fear often is grounded, Demon Hunter, in superstitions, they may worry that breaking a mirror will bring bad luck, or that looking into a mirror will put them in contact with the supernatural world inside the glass.
Well, I'll tell you, man, when I was going around studying with different pagan groups, they put a lot of stock in mirrors, too.
Yeah.
I made the mistake of using a black mirror once, and I saw something in there that freaked me out so bad I didn't sleep for a while.
Well, you shouldn't use anything. You know, women, men, mirrors. I'm kidding. Whatever.
That would explain your shaving habits.
Yeah, no doubt. Did we talk about that before, though? Didn't we bring up Bloody Mary one time with the Bloody Mary in the mirror, which is totally false?
It was, says you.
Well, it's what they said. We was talking about the legends and stuff, and they said Bloody Mary was junk. It was no good. So, yeah. But people basically created their own phobia here. By looking, maybe if you look inside, it's like the reflection of oneself and the inner soul and the...
Oh, stop it.
Okay, here's one for you. Demonophobia. Demonophobia.
Demonophobia.
Let's see if you get this. The fear of dogs, the fear of cats, you're totally going to blow this, or the fear of demons.
I'll go with demons.
Demonophobia, fear of demons. Very good, very good. Man, you are awesome. Demonophobia is an abnormal and persistent fear of evil supernatural beings in persons who believe such beings exist and roam freely to cause harm. Those who suffer from this phobia realize their fear is excessive or irrational. Nonetheless, they become unduly anxious when discussing demons, when venturing alone into woods or a dark house, or when watching films about demonic possession.
Yeah. Well, there was a demonic film that came out just recently, and I don't know the title of it. It was one of those ones that was in the theaters a very short time, and somebody sent me a clip of it. Another person who works as an occultist. Yeah. And the reason they sent it to me was, even though the movie itself, they told me, was absolutely horrible.
Yeah.
There was one scene they said I had to see, and I had to watch the scene on my surround sound.
Okay.
And... So I put it in and I listened to it, and there's an aspect to a demonic voice when you've actually experienced one that is one of those things you look for to tell whether or not you're dealing with the real thing or a fake.
Yes.
And I think, I don't know if these guys did it on purpose or if they just copied something they were told really well, but they got this aspect down flat.
Okay.
And it freaked me out. I was like, okay, I've seen enough.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, that one scene was enough to bring back the fears I'd had from working on a case that was a realistic, as far as I know, demonic case.
Oh.
Yeah, so, you know, I can kind of relate to these people because when you, what's it we used to always say, Sean, when you go looking for the paranormal, eventually the paranormal comes looking for you.
For you. I said it a little bit better, though. I used the voice.
Well, you tried.
Yeah, I did try. Demon Hunter!
Ghost Man.
Shadow Nation, it's that time again on Sunday night for In the News.
In the News.
It's always strange. It's always exciting, a little bit fresh, weird, awesome, and it starts right
now.
Ooh, that was good.
You're right after that. Hey, Sean, just a reminder, shout out there to those folks who were listening earlier. You've already heard this story, but I wanted to tell people about the stuff I was talking about earlier, the fact that the people from... Hidden Cash. We're back in New York today, hiding their cash, this time on the beach in Pez dispensers.
Pez. I love Pez. I knew I loved it for a reason.
You know, that Pez is a Connecticut invention, Sean.
Right.
Do you know what Pez means?
No.
It's short for the German word for peppermint, because original Pez was peppermint.
Did you know that there is no peppermint-flavored Pez?
Oh, I beg to differ. I've bought it.
There is peppermint-flavored Pez.
Yes.
There isn't. I'll have to Google it. Proceed, sir.
But this last time, money was left around Central Park, a few hundred dollars shoved into different areas in envelopes with the occasional silver dollar. This time, they shoved money in Pez dispensers, leaving it all over the beach. And one lucky winner who found the Superman Pez dispenser walked away with two tickets to anywhere he wanted to go in the United States.
Nice! Didn't you say that just happened?
I myself would have gone to Disney World. Sean, you said you would have gone to...
Salem.
What was it? Salem.
Yeah. My work's never done. We explore the weird and strange.
I need a vacation.
Yeah, you do. So's our sound.
Yeah. I'm wondering what's causing that now, huh?
I don't know. First story up tonight, Demon Hunter, after yours, of course.
Please, tell me more.
Get ready. And the world capital of... I can say this. Penis enlargement is... I can say that. You can say that.
How did I know you were going to go with this story first?
Get ready, Shadow Nation. And the world capital of penis enlargement is... This is the topic of the story, guys. Comes out of our friends, the Huffington Post. Not satisfied with the size of your sausage? Feeling bad about the brat that you got? Is your wiener simply the worst? Get it? Brat in the...
Worst?
Yeah.
Worst?
Well, there's
your wiener's
almost,
the worst?
That's what they say. There's almost 2,800 people in Germany that felt similar, Demon Hunter, so you're not alone, last year. According to the new data by the ASAPS, the International Society for Aesthetic Plastic Surgery, of an estimated 15,414 enlargements worldwide, 2,786 operations took place in Germany. That's 18% of all penis enlargements in the world. Much more than any other nation. Go Germany. The second most penis enlargement surgeries. How many times can I say this? Isn't there like an FCC thing? I can't say that word too many times. Or...
Which word?
I guess we'll find out. Penis surgeries were done in Venezuela. I'm sorry. No. What's the
Venezuela?
Name? Venezuela? No, not Venezuela. It's the name of a town.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, it's in Germany, guys. As The Guardian points out, the data wasn't compiled by nationality. So the surgeries in Germany didn't necessarily take place in Germany. Men. Data from the ISAPS, ISAPS, holds that although Germany is in the top five nations with the most plastic surgery procedures, Brazil is number one, followed by the USA. There's hope, Demon Hunter.
There's hope for us yet.
Yeah. Fun with numbers, the ratio of German penis enlargements to Brazilian penis enlargements in 2013 was 2,786 to 219, almost 13 to 1. Roughly double than the Germans' goals to Brazilian goals in the infamous 2014 World Cup match.
Goal!
Apparently, after Germany beat Brazil, embarrassed them at the World Cup this year, maybe we know why now. Huh?
Was it a more of a locker room battle than it was out on the field?
Brazil was behind some way. They were short, if you will. They came up short.
I don't think we want to throw this story in with behinds, Sean.
Come on. They came up short. Get it? The Brazilians?
Came up short.
They fell short to Germany. Never mind. Go ahead.
Well, you know, with those Brazilians, everything looks larger.
Yeah, because they wax.
But hey, Sean, just a reminder to our listeners out there, this is Ghostman and Demon Hunters in the news. That's weird news. That means we pick the weird news stories out of the newspapers by the titles. We don't read them first, which means we make a lot of mistakes. That means every time we make a mistake, you get to take a drink. That's right. You can have a few right now for Sean's last story.
Yeah.
Anyway, start reading these stories and realize how bad they are, no telling how far we're going to go with said story. But until we stop, every time we make a mistake, you take a drink. That's the G&D drinking game. And we recommend that if you are driving right now, listening to us on 102.7 The Hog, don't play the G&D drinking game. And if you have anything important to do, like, say, download more of our shows, please. Listen responsibly.
Or you got that surgery coming up in the morning for the
enlargement. You don't want to be bleeding.
Your enlargement. See what I did there with the
if you're in town for a surgery,
don't drink.
Yes.
If you're in for
anyway, Sean.
We're big in Germany.
Oh, dude. I'm huge in Germany.
See?
Guys, hilarious obit Don't email me, I'm dead.
Oh.
This comes to us from the newser.
Okay.
Kevin McGut. Have a drink, folks. Kevin McGrothery.
I'm here for the gangbang.
Worked in advertising for some 30 years. His final project, his hilarious 500-word mini masterpiece. Adweek reports his own obituary.
Yeah.
McGrothery, have a drink, who died last week at 53, kicks it off with a bang.
Ah!
Ooh. McGrothery achieves room temperature before explaining he died.
Yeah.
After battling a long fight with... Okay, it's a medical word, Sean.
Do it.
Medicracy? Medicracy.
That was perfect.
Have three drinks on me. The obit, which the Times leader reports, was written a year before his death, continues, he enjoyed elaborate practical jokes.
Yes.
Over tipping in restaurants, sushi, and Marx Brothers movies.
Over tipping is a joke?
Well, that's one of the things he enjoys. He enjoys practical jokes. He enjoys over tipping. He enjoys sushi, and he enjoys Marx Brothers movies.
I'm ready for six.
Okay.
Enjoyed. Sorry. Sorry. Didn't mean to change your story there,
drink.
Kevin. Anyway. He will be laid to rest at Mount Olive Cemetery,
okay.
Section 7N. He has asked to please make a note of his new address. And friends, please don't email me. I'm dead.
No.
His big regret that as an adult, he couldn't relay the good citizens of Pennsylvania to revolution that would force the price of Hershey candy bars to go back to their original 35-cent market value.
I'm ready for six.
That was intriguing. Is that?
Yes. Yes. Well, like I said, John, I get them out of the papers by the titles. What do you want from me?
What do you want, Demon Hunter? Okay, I got one more word. 754, Demon Hunter.
Okay, go ahead.
I got one more. UFOs over Toronto caught on tape prompting police reports.
Of course, why not?
That was just last week. Comes out of our friends. Doesn't come out of our friends. Comes from our friends at the Huffington Post, guys. It's our good buddy Ed wrote this story. Thanks, Ed. Appreciate it. Something was flying over Toronto, Demon Hunter, on Saturday night, causing residents to contact police and take to social media with images and videos of lights in the sky.
How many times?
Yeah, how many times have we heard about this one? Huh? No X-Files music. It was really high up. And was round, bright, and shiny. Sarah Chun, who recorded videos of the lights with her iPad and posted them on YouTube, told the Toronto Star. At first, I thought it was stars or something, but it was too bright to be. I didn't know what it was. That's her statement. Chun said the lights lasted for about 25 minutes. It kind of flew and then disappeared. She was quoted as saying, some witnesses posted photos to Twitter, including one taken before sunset that looks more like a bird than a flying saucer. Others posted images of mysterious lights hovering over the city.
Ooh.
Yeah. So far, no one has been able to identify the flying objects, but there's no shortage of theories. One Toronto resident told CTV he saw kids setting up a kite with a light rigged attached to it. After it got dark a couple hours later, I noticed the line of lights. Alejandro, who did not give his last name, told the network via email, it looked like a very potent laser pointing vertically to the sky. But it was the kite that people were preparing. Some thinks the lights may have been lanterns sent up by Ramadan. Sent up for Ramadan. I got it, guys.
Okay.
Drink up. While others, like Toronto Police Constable Craig Breister, believes it may have been a type of drone known as the quadcopter. Huh?
Okay. Maybe it was one of those new little drones.
This has been an epic year for UFOs on our show. We've had just about every high power out there for the UFO conspiracy thing talking about this stuff. Remember?
Yeah, well, hey, Sean, here's one to just wrap up with. Crop circles in Germany probably created by meddling youths.
Okay.
Berlin, thousands of people. This comes from the Huffington Post. Thousands of people are trekking to Bavaria Have a drink, folks. Thousands of people are trekking to a Bavarian farmer's field to check out a mysterious set of crop circles. The ornate design was discovered by balloon last week, and news of it found its way quickly spread across the world online.
Okay.
Farmer Christopher Hunter, who owns the field of wheat near Willingham, couldn't be reached for comment on Wednesday, but told the DPA news agency Tuesday he didn't create the circles himself. He suggests students on summer holiday may have cut the images with a 75-meter diameter, that's 246 feet, Sean, into his field.
Oh!
The news agency said thousands of visitors have come to sing, dance, and even swing pendulums in the giant image.
Okay.
Hunter says he is not yet sure whether he will leave the circles in his field.
I would leave them. Wouldn't you leave them?
I might leave them. I might. I might, Rabbit. I might.
You might. Demon Hunter, I guess that is the sound for us taking a break. I guess we're not going to get into the legend tonight, yeah?
We had a great legend, Sean.
We did have a great legend, but oh, time. She's up. Hey, guys, we're going to take a break. Tonight's guest, Patrick Doyle, author of the critically acclaimed young adults books, Edgar Fonts, Hunt for a House to Haunt, also Next Stop Earth, and, of course, from his work on the hit series Sci-Fi Channel's Ghost Mind. Tonight's band, music, Sam Bennett never took a dollar from a dead man, Demon Hunter. We will be right back.
Oh, I can't wait.
I never took a dollar from a dead man, at least not as far as I know. I never left a saddle out in the rain, or a diamond in a pile of snow. But I once fell in love with a waitress, she was filling my coffee cup. I imagined a future for the two of us, and there was nowhere left to go but up. And I never, never took a dollar from a dead man. Good Lord have mercy, no. Yeah. People will sometimes tell you the truth, or at least maybe something close. Your doctor wasn't right for you, he might give you a lethal dose. You could be on a highway hitching a ride when a golden Cadillac stops. It could be Jesus behind the wheel, might be an undercover cop, yeah. But I never, oh, never took a dollar, oh, from a dead man. Good Lord, mercy, no. Hello. I said, crying, good mercy, no. Oh, there's never been a better time to do what you will or say what you please. Crawl home and drink your whiskey now. Crawl on your hands and knees. The sheriff who's cracking the whip on your back while you build this endless highway. He'll be fronting the band next Saturday night. He'll be singing, I did it my way. And I never, never took a dollar, Lord, Lord, from a dead. Heaven is a bone, I heard it from a circus clown. for me on Broadway. Yeah, I'm living on the edge of town. I won't go into the details of my current circumstance, but I promise I'll let those good times roll if I ever get half a chance. And I never, never took a dollar loan from a dead man.
Come back here. This is Scott Wilson from The Walking Dead, and you're listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Hey, welcome back, listeners around the world, to the one, the only mystifying oracle of radio, your Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show. Tonight's guest, you guys know him, you love him, good friend of the show, Patrick Doyle, author of the critically acclaimed, award-winning young adults books, Edgar Font's Hunt for a House to Hunt. Also, the screenplay-turned sci-fi adventure novel, Next Stop Earth, and of course, his work on the hit sci-fi channel series, Ghostmire. We're going to talk about his new book and much, much more tonight. Help us welcome our good friend, Patrick Doyle. Pat, what's going on, brother?
Were you reading your messages there, Sean?
Oh, great. That's amazing. I love doing those intros. I love doing them. I do. That's what I do. Let me read them here.
I didn't want to disturb you during that.
Hey, let me read it out. Pat's not in right now, but I'll call him right now and get his voicemail. Let's call G&D Nation. See what Patrick's doing right now.
Hello. Anybody want to know what Pat's voicemail sounds like?
Yeah, let's. I bet it goes, hey. Does it start out, hey? Don't tell me. Hey, this is Patrick.
Hey, this is Patrick. Leave a message and I'll call you right back.
Oh, I did it.
Let's leave the tone.
Let's leave a message. No, call him back. Let's leave him a message.
You want to leave a message?
We got to leave him a message.
Okay, let's leave him a message.
All right, let's do it. We'll call him back, guys. I won, by the way, because it said, hey, this is Patrick.
You did. You did know that.
Yeah, I knew it. I don't know how I know it. Don't ask me, but a lot of people say.
How'd you know that?
Well, a lot of people say, you know. They say.
I say hi.
Yeah. Let me find a funny thing to play in this thing right now. He's funny that we're. He's
lucky. A funny guy.
He's lucky we're funny.
Ready.
Everybody funny. Now you funny too.
Hey, that's a little. Oh, God, who was it? George Thorogood.
Hey, this is Patrick. Leave a message and I'll call you right back.
Hold on. Listen to this.
At the tone, please record your message.
Okay, here we go.
When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options. To leave a callback number, press 5.
Yeah. Ready? Hold on a second.
I'm ready for 6.
Hey, Patrick! It's your pals Nathan and Sean at the G&D Show. We're live. And the Shadow Nation wants us to leave you a message. Demon Hunter, what's that message?
That message would be something right along the lines of, hi, Patrick. We're doing a show right now. We'd really love for you to join us.
Yeah.
Would you call us back? The number's probably showing up on your caller ID there.
Yeah.
We'd appreciate that.
That'd be awesome.
We'll bring you right into the show if you do. We swear we won't make you wait or nothing.
Right. And Patrick, let's take this time out to thank all our carriers, our all at home, Stitcher, Smart Radio, Planet Paranormal, Action Audio Apps. Hey, are you listening? They want to know. Check them out. ActionAudioApps.net, 102.7 FM. The Hog. Thanks for carrying us, guys. Patrick, give us a call back, buddy. Until then, we'll keep trucking. That's
thanks,
great.
Patrick. We'll talk to you soon, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, you got 20 minutes, brother. 20 minutes. That's great. Did you hang up on him yet?
Here we go.
Bye, Patrick. What a great guy. He's going to feel so bad.
And the funny thing is, he's such a great guy that we're making these jokes on the line, and I'm sitting here thinking, for Patrick to miss his phone call, he must have been like in a car accident or something, and we're making jokes on the phone.
The attorney's going to use this. Well, here we get something close, because Patrick's a good friend of the show. He's been on. Listen, here we go.
Hi, this is Patrick Doyle, Ghost Mine, and you are listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show. Patrick Doyle,
woo-hoo!
Ghost Mine.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Patrick Doyle, Ghost Mine, and you are listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show. Hi, this is Patrick Doyle.
Okay, listen.
Let's just do that over and over again. Yeah. Hey, Sean, why don't we take this time to talk a little bit about our legend this week?
Hold on. What's Patrick say?
Hi, this is Patrick Doyle.
Oh, you're no help, Patrick. Hold on, he might have changed his mind, Nathan. Let's see here. Patrick, can we talk about the legend?
Hi, this is Patrick Doyle.
Yeah, that's we can talk about it, he said.
Yay. That's good. I was really hoping we'd get a chance. I thought during our break, I thought, hey, you know what? Patrick is a ghost hunter.
Yeah.
Tonight's legend has a bit to do about ghosts.
Right.
Maybe he'd want to talk about it with us.
So we should call and leave his voicemail on and talk about the... I don't know.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, he might when he calls back. Might be right in the middle of the... Anyway, without further ado, Shadow Nation, listeners around the world, tonight's...
Legend.
Legend X series. And we have no music up. This is just going to be one of those
That's going to be one of those nights, Sean. But hey, that's okay, Sean, because you know how to introduce Legend X.
We do. Legend X series, guys, it's an original series. That means Nathan and myself created it, where we scour the universe, or at least the planet Earth, each week to find you the new myths, the new legends, to see if there's any fact or truth or phony behind it. And we bring it to you each week. This week's Legend X is...
Dun, dun, dun. The Nightwalkers of Hawaii.
Oh, we got music. Hey, this is our, oh, that sounds great.
Still there, Sean?
Yeah, I'm here. We're getting that crazy, crazy, crazy noise again.
I can't hear you over the music.
You can't hear me? Well, let's kick the music off. Let's see here.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Okay, can you hear me now? Can you hear me at all?
I'm just sending Patrick a text message here.
Can you hear me at all, Nathan?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine.
Okay. We're getting that crazy signal interference once again for our live listeners.
Hey, Sean, let's talk a little bit about the Nightwalkers.
All right, well, let me put the music back on here.
Are they going to be able to hear me over it?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. They should be able to.
Okay. Be careful if you plan on doing any night hiking or midnight beach strolls.
Okay.
The night marchers are ghosts of ancient Hawaiian warriors, drinking games over, folks. And they are said to roam the island at night, visiting old battlefields and scarred sites. If you hear chanting, drums, or marching, if you see torches, your best bet is to run indoors, lie quietly on your stomach, because if you make eye contact with the night marchers, you'll die and be forced to march with them for all eternity. If you happen to have an ancestor marching, however, no one in the procession can harm you.
Really?
Really?
So if you have dead people...
Yeah.
Well, everybody has dead people.
But do you have dead ancient warriors marching with the night marchers?
No, I don't... How would you know?
Well, if maybe you know that your ancient ancestor died in a horrible battle in Hawaii.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's funny that you bring that up, though, Demon Hunter, because... Anyway, guys, that's Legend X this week. It's the Shadow Walkers. That's a good one.
Night Walkers, sorry.
Shadow Walkers.
You're thinking Shadow Nation.
Yeah, Shadow Nation, all that stuff. But that's interesting because I actually work with a gentleman named T. And he's from, where's he from? Not Fiji Islands, but we'll say Fiji. Real weird name. And he said that I was talking to him about the stuff we do in the show, and he's a fan of the show. Might not be after tonight, but he was a fan of the show, and he was asking me about, you know, what have you guys seen? What have you guys done? And, you know, I told him about how difficult it is when you're doing the paranormal stuff to either prove or try to tell people the stories that don't believe, and how, you know, America, they're either totally 100% accurate, or they don't know, they don't care, or... You know, the skeptic are very, a lot of them are cynical and, you know, that's stupid. That it couldn't happen. It doesn't happen. Some of them. And he was like, you know, that's really weird because in my country, Tatunga, I'm sorry.
In my culture, yeah.
Yeah, in Tatunga, the people, every day is basically like Halloween. They say prayers for the dead. They wake up, they acknowledge the existence because they believe that anything other than acknowledgement of the other world is cursing your family.
Well, sure, and think about it. It's only been a couple of hundred years that the Hawaiian Islands have been pulled out of a paganist culture.
Yeah, hold on 1 second, Demon Hunter. I think I got Patrick here live on the show. Pat, what's going on, buddy? We just told you. We left you some voice messages. He's up in the mountains, Shadow Nation, right now. We got him live on the cell phone. Hey, you think you can call? Demon Hunter, what's the... well, you can't give me the... Take me the number, and I'll give it to Patrick here.
All right, let me get that number for you.
All right, hey, Patrick said we can call him now. All right, brother, we're calling you right now.
All right, Patrick.
All right, bud.
Let's give him a call. But hey, I was just shouting out there, Sean. It's only been a few hundred years. Even Mark Twain, one of my favorite authors, talks about... you know, an American, you know, piece of history there, talks about his time in the Sandwich Islands, which was the name, you know, the British Empire had given to the Hawaiian Islands originally, yeah. Talks about how he watched their transformation from paganism to Christianity. So right. It doesn't surprise me in the least.
Yeah. Well, Sam was telling me that.
Hello.
Patrick!
Oh, there we are, finally. Oh, my God, that took forever.
Is this a crank call? Who is this? You're lucky
we
love
you. How you doing, Patrick?
Oh, good, Nathan. And, Sean, sorry it took so long, but I was, like, in some weird dead zone in the mountains of Oregon here.
Nice. There's a lot of dead zones out there.
That's what happens when you get popular, Patrick, and you're asked to go all over the place.
Oh, this was like a personal trip. This was, you know, like, you don't ask it. This is just me going out, having some fun, and apparently this is like one of those few roads in Oregon. Oh, there's very many roads in Oregon that's no cell towers.
Well, we got a lot of questions come in this week, Patrick. And
was that you, Patrick? Oh my goodness,
was that you? Was that your stomach? No, we got a lot of questions.
Oh, that was like the road trips.
Stay on the road, brother. No, they want to know, the number one question is, are you on steroids? Because people have noticed, you know, you've buffed up quite a bit in the last 4 years or whatever. And is it protein shakes or what? What, are you living in the gym, bro, or what?
It's just all gym and diet. That's all it is. That's all it takes. Proper right. diet and hit the gym at least 5 days a week.
5 days. That's what I tried to tell Nathan. You gotta
Yeah, that's what you tried to tell me. You told me a proper diet consisted of having at least one beer with every meal, Sean.
Oh, yeah, and a Twinkie. Yeah, Pat.
Well, I still do that. Right.
That's why he goes 5 days a week.
I totally agree with you, Nathan. There, that's like something I totally agree with. A beer or at least a whiskey. So you cannot like deprive yourself of the good things.
The essentials.
Hey, Patrick, what have you been doing, man? You've been all over the place. People want to know what's going on with Ghost Mind. We got so much to talk about in so little time now. Where do you want to jump off?
Yeah, let's jam.
Yeah, let's do it.
What's going on, Patrick? What are you working on right now?
Well, book came out a couple months ago, so you guys know about that. The Ghost from the Ground Up, Field Notes of a Ghost Miner, which kind of gets into like some... stuff that was never told on the show, just kind of like some, you know, you guys were TV folks as well.
Yeah.
So when those cameras aren't off, a lot of fun stuff happens. So this is like kind of a behind the scenes. Here's some fun stuff you never knew happens, as well as like theories I came up with and some personal like paranormal stories. It's all in that 200-page that I kind of published there a couple months ago. So that's doing pretty well. But besides that, just kind of working on the next.
Yeah. Well, I see some pictures you put up. You're actually working on a book. Like the last couple of months, you've been working on another book, right?
Say that again?
You've been working on another book currently, right?
He was asking if you were working on another book, Patrick.
Oh, I think we hit a bad cell signal again, Nathan.
Sean, it's like talking to you on your ride home from work.
I know. This is going to be an epic show. Well, we can always... Patrick can come on anytime. He knows that, so...
We might have to bring him on again soon, because we are losing him left and right here.
Yeah, we are. He's up in the hills. Mr. Adventure over here.
We got him for 3 minutes and 17 seconds there, Sean.
Well, that's what we do. We get him. We get them on the show. We bring in.
You want the guests, folks. We get them for you for 3 minutes and 17 seconds.
I wonder what he was doing up in the hills. Like, it sounded like maybe Bigfoot had him by the rear. You know what I mean?
Why is it always the rear with you?
I don't know. Anyway, what do you think, Patrick?
Hi, this is Patrick Doyle, Ghost Mind, and you are listening to Ghost Mind.
So, you've been working on that book, Patrick?
Hi, this is Patrick Doyle, Ghost Mind, and you are listening to the Ghost Man and D-Liner Show. Hi, this is Patrick
What's the
Doyle,
new book going to be about? You are listening to
the... I got to take that button away from you, man.
We can do that all day. Let's talk to Scott. Let's see if we can get back on a short minute here.
Come back here.
Scott, can you come on?
This is Scott Wilson from The Walking Dead.
Hello?
Hey, Patrick. How are you, man?
I know. I must have, like, went around the mountain there and, like, blocked the signal.
You'll be coming around the mountain. No, we're talking about your book. You've been working on a new book?
Yep, that one's out. But now I'm just kind of working on, you know, I'm always working on something new. You know me.
Oh, yeah. Burning.
Yeah, we just stick to the same thing over and over again. Stick to what you're good at. Sitting around, drinking beer, talking on the radio. That's what we'd like to do. It's,
But you're so good at it.
See, you're going to love this episode, Patrick, when we play it back for you, because... when you check your messages when you get home, you're probably going to kill us. Live on the air, we left you some great messages.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking at my phone right now. I said, hey, I have voicemail. I got a bunch of stuff going on here. So that'll be interesting to listen to later.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
Hope you didn't, like, yell at me too much. Too bad.
No, we weren't yelling, man. But
we
no,
would never yell at you. Hey, Patrick, now that we have you on the air, we have to take a 2-second break. So that we can fit in the commercials for our folks over at 102.7 The Hog.
Okay, well, it looks like I'm driving into civilization right now, so hopefully we won't drop off from now on.
All right, Sean, let's take a 2-seconder, and then we'll be right back.
Hey, welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one and the only Mystifying Oracle of Radio, where we're having an epic show with our good friend Patrick Doyle. He's out on the road. You guys should know he's an adventurer, real-life adventurer. He's out exploring the mountains or the hills in Oregon looking for, I'm going to say Bigfoot because I haven't got to ask him yet. You looking for Bigfoot, Patrick?
I have been, but not this trip.
Oh.
Right now we need to get Sean to get that haunted rock out of the studio so that this stuff stops happening. Yeah. But hey, Patrick, Sean and I were talking about our legend tonight. It was about the Night Walkers in Hawaii.
Not the show.
So we're thinking we need to do a trip out to Hawaii. Just Sean, me, you. We'll go out to Hawaii.
Oh,
yeah. We'll spend the days drinking on the beach. Then we'll spend the nights hunting down the Night Walkers.
Sounds perfect to me. Actually, like my third Edgar Font book dealt with the Night Walkers.
That's right.
So did a lot of research on them.
You're the perfect man to bring along with us then.
There we go. And I already have a couple teams over there who are friends who will walk us around, who are our natives. So us Howleys that walk over there, we'll be able to get them access.
Okay, Sean, call the networks. Tell them we need money to go to Hawaii. Yeah.
I don't know if the network's still putting those checks out for us, Nathan. I think our credit limits...
networks don't like to write checks very often.
No, they don't.
Yeah, it's not an easy thing to do. Hey,
that's like pulling teeth right there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't know if you can talk about this or not, but, you know, with the Ghost Mind thing and everything that went on, for folks who weren't familiar with it, Ghost Mind, awesome show on Sci-Fi Channel. Patrick was the host where he instead of, like, these shows that take you to a different location every week, like Sean and I did on our show, he stuck with the same location trying to dig up this information. Patrick, I was reading an article not too long ago that said that Sci-Fi is slowly pulling all the paranormal shows.
Oh, yeah. It seems that way. I don't have, like, an inside seat with what's going on behind closed doors of the suits. But it seems like it's going that way because Ghost Mind was getting... We were up against Duck Dynasty and American Horror Story. We're still pulling a million viewers.
Yeah.
But you guys know that's pretty damn good.
Oh, yeah, that was our audience. We liked it.
in our 5-day numbers, that means, like, the people who DVR it, they were up in, like, the 3 to 4 million, like, viewers. So the ratings were great and everything like that. It just seems, and of course it's just me speculating, that it kind of goes with the program now that Sci-Fi, they got all new management and they wanted to go a different direction. They wanted to go with the whole science fiction because they're not, the name is Sci-Fi Channel. So
right.
it kind of makes sense that they want to go more science fiction with Dominion and whatever else.
And they needed all that extra money to throw into Sharknado 2.
There you go. Well, there's a lot of talent in that movie. So.
That's right.
Oh, it's grade A, buddy. Grade A. Talent. Movie man.
I don't know. I really have no answer to the fans. Like, really, I'm sorry that I don't have an exact answer for the fans why we're not back. But I think that's what it is. Just new management came in. It's like we want to change things up. And
well, you know.
And paranormal, this isn't the way we're going to go.
Hey, brother, we've all been in the TV biz, and I know there's things you can't talk about and won't talk about.
Yeah.
So you stop me if you can't just say I can't. But what is the plan? If Sci-Fi Channel makes an idiotic decision, which would be to drop Ghostmind, which was an amazing show, is an amazing show, hopefully they're not just going to let it die like they did with our show, because there's so much talent there and there's such a good topic and it was done so well. Is there other channels interested? Is there any other pitches, or did you have to go back to square one like we're doing?
That's another thing. I have no idea because I'm still in contact with producers, but they can't tell me anything just because, as you know, it's like that's what business is, the game of like talent is talent and producers are producers. So
yeah, they don't tell you anything till the day comes down where they can tell you yes or no.
Yeah. But Sci-Fi owns, the funny thing is like Sci-Fi owns the Chiller Network, which is seems like it would be a perfect fit because Haven just moved over to Chiller, so it's like one of those things. Like, why don't you have this horror network, and we're kind of in that genre? It's like, hey, I would just move us over there. Why don't you?
Yeah. Well, it looks like we're all going to have to support each other because they just dropped FearNet as well. Just went under. I don't know if you guys heard of that, but apparently our paranormal world's getting smaller and smaller here, guys. We're going to have a new rebirth.
Yeah,
we experienced the paranormal boom for just too long there, and I guess it just fell apart. It was like the dot-com boom.
Yeah, but
it was. If you really look at it, because the paranormal genre on TV had a good run there for a long while. I think it just got oversaturated with some shows that just kind of, like, how do I put it gently in PC without calling them crap?
there was a lot of stuff out there. I mean, I was just on Netflix the other night, and it wasn't, I mean, a lot of shows you never even heard about. I think one was Paranormal House Cleaners or something. I mean, they tried everything.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Just like people sit in a room and think, okay, what's the next show we can come up with? It's like this popular show and this popular show and throw them together and see what we get.
It's interesting. Sean and I were saying the other day we had Sven Gulli on our show as a guest, the horror show host from MeTV. And we were saying, you know what, Sean? Sean was saying, that's our next route. We got to go late night horror show. That's going to be us.
We'll try everything once, huh?
Yeah.
No, but the thing about you, Patrick, because we've been friends for a long time. You've been a good friend of the show.
Yeah.
And you don't, even though you're made to be on television, I mean, Ghostmind is without a doubt one of the better shows out there. And but you've done things where you don't have to rely on television. I mean, you're an amazing man. You're a great friend. You're an amazing author for both children and adults. And you created something. You're also an inventor, apparently. And I didn't get to read much on it. But the RIPA, can you tell our listeners more about that? It's RIPA, the RIPA. What is that?
Oh, the RIPA is like the robot that was on Ghostmind.
Right.
And that's the... I go back to the beginning. So actually, RIPA 1 is a prototype I built long before Ghostmind even started, because I was going on investigations. Because I used to investigate by myself a lot. So I was going to some dangerous situations, some dangerous places, because you know they go into these haunted houses where they have been upkept for a decade or so. So I always figured, it's like, if I'm going to go in these places, I don't want to basically end up a part of this building. So let me design something where I can attach all my gear to, drive it in there. If it gets destroyed, oh well, I can replace it. I can't replace myself.
Yeah.
And then when Ghostmind came around, they asked me, hey, do you have any like interesting gear that you could bring along to the mine? I said, well, I got this kind of robot that I kind of built. And he's like, holy crap, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Let's beef it up a bit. And I sat down with the designer. The electrician, the guy actually built the thing. I designed it. He built it. That's what RIPA 2 and RIPA 3 were on the show. They were the robot paranormal investigator that could go in there and not get hurt, and keep us from getting hurt.
You know, it's interesting with the Ripa, because Sean and I had designed something similar to go underwater to investigate. And when we filmed, the producers said, hey, that's awesome. And then rather than putting the money into helping us build it, they said, hey, Nathan, why don't we just throw you in the water? And I said, problem with that is I have hydrophobia.
And put Sean in the water.
Yeah, they said, let's put Sean in the water.
Poor Sean.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that episode where Sean's underwater the whole time.
Hey, listen, show yourself. That'll be $50, guys. Show yourself.
It's got to be muffled with some bubble noise.
That's all we need. Blub, I can
blub,
do
blub,
it.
Blub, 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 blub. Show yourself. Blub, 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 blub.
Hey, you've been...
Exactly.
You're doing all these road shows and stuff. You're going out there. You're signing autographs. What's coming up for you, man? People still want to see you. They want to know what you're doing.
What do I got going on? The biggest one I have coming up is Dragon Con in Atlanta at the end of this month.
Oh,
so I'm really looking forward to that one because that's pretty awesome. That's like one. There's Comic Con in San Diego, and then there's Dragon Con in Atlanta.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty major event. Going to be there with a couple people from Ghost Hunters. I think it's just me and the Ghost Hunters people, and that's it for the paranormal side.
Yeah.
But a lot of great horror, sci-fi. Patrick Stewart's going to be there, so that's going to be awesome. Hopefully, I get to meet him.
Yeah.
He's my hero.
Gotta go meet Picard, gotta go do that, Lou Ferrigno and all that. Gotta go meet the childhood heroes, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's the best part about doing those conventions. When we were doing them, I was more interested in who was on the board than my name, you know? I was, who's going to be there?
Oh, yeah.
Because I can go up to them and say, hey, I was on this show. Can I set with you? You know.
That was a nice thing, too, because we could always walk up with a microphone and say, we want to record you. We didn't have any tape in it, but we just sat down and talked to the people for a half an hour.
Fascinating.
Yeah, that's funny. Because I was up at Scarefest in Seattle not too long ago, and like, you know, it's like people come up to you and say, oh, my God, I saw you on TV. It's like, and that's kind of funny to me because I'm looking at the people next to me going, oh, my God, I saw them on TV. It's a chain of kind of... stuck in this.
Yeah. And I tell you what, you should write a book about that. I had actually talked to Nathan about writing a book about us because this will be documented down through history as the time of the paranormal. These last 10 years will be the day of the paranormal where the paranormal TV stood still. And we should all get together and talk about, like, kind of what you did in your book, the things behind the scenes, the way it feels to go from a blue-collar person, all of a sudden you're hosting a show all across the world. You know, people need to know that because we forget sometimes when people walk up to us and they're fascinated. Oh, my God, you've been on TV. And they think, you know, we're living in Hollywood in a condominium on the beach, you know.
But the truth is, like, we're just normal every day, living normal lives kind of thing. We just happen to.
Right.
Yeah, on a TV show.
We just happen to have people follow us around with a camera for a while.
Yeah. And yeah, microphones stuck to us. And you forget that you have a microphone on sometimes, and everything you say and do is recorded.
Well, I'll tell you, when Sean and I went out and filmed our first treatment, our first sizzle reel, he forgot that he had his microphone on, and we were all plugged into the same thing, and he went in to use the bathroom. So yeah, it's always running. Yeah.
Whatever.
Oh, we had a few of those. We had plenty of those. We came down to the point where we learned how to turn off our own mics.
Oh, yeah.
Just for courtesy, really.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we didn't care.
Because the sound guy, those poor sound guys had to hear everything.
Hey, but Patrick, the new book, tell folks a bit about it and where they can find it.
New book is called Ghosts from the Ground Up, Field Notes of a Ghost Miner. And like I was saying before I got cut off there, it's the mountains, was a lot of stuff happens when the cameras aren't off. Stuff like when we're sitting around the campfire, we go into the mine a lot without camera crews around, without sound guys, we're just doing the job. So I tell a couple of the stories about me and the miners when the cameras weren't on. And when we were just chatting around the campfire, talking about ghosts and Bigfoot and UFOs, because every single one of those guys that didn't come across on the show a lot, they all had stories about weird stuff that has happened to them. So I kind of dive into that a little bit. And while I was up there on the mountain, there's really nothing to do. There's no Wi-Fi. There's no cell service. So no video games, no movies, nothing to do. So I just let my mind wander, and I came up with some kind of what I think are kind of some interesting theories in the field of, and I kind of put those in the book along with some illustrations and what else? Just a bunch of insider stuff.
Some dirty pictures, you dirty man.
What's that?
I said in some dirty pictures, probably, you dirty man.
No dirty pictures, not in this one.
Hey, Sean, just a reminder, those Nightwalker stories I was telling earlier came from myths.e2bn.org. So I want to throw that in there. But Patrick, you're going out and you're still experiencing the lifestyle of having done this show. People still recognizing you. They're coming up and talking to you about your show. Do you ever look at them and say, you know, I want to move on to the next thing. I want to do what's next. And what is next?
I never tell them, like, I want to move on. I always, like, cherish the moment, especially, like, when I talk to people about Ghostline, because I do see it in there in the fan's eye that it did. People were really connected to the show. They felt that they were a part of the crew, really, and that's why I love the show so much.
Well, you found a way to do something different during a time period that everybody was doing the same thing.
Yeah, so exactly. And I think, and the way the story was told, it's all due to the editors and all that, but the way the story was told, that fans really felt that they were a part of the crew, and I love that about it. So whenever anyone, like, recognized me, like, beyond the street or at a convention, and has a question or a theory or anything, I'm glad to listen, because again, it's like, it's an amazing part of my life to be able to do that. And if I could continue that adventure with somebody, why not? So I'm always happy to, like, answer questions, because I like reflecting back as well. I just, like, met up with Stan last weekend. Yeah, I met up with Stan last weekend. That was, like, a fun, just kind of reminiscing about old times and good times, bad times, people we like, people we hate. So,
hey, we've done that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, what a ride, Patrick. And I tell you what, man, Ghost Mine, like, that's a great show, and I don't think it's going to die. I think it's me back on there. And more importantly, you're a great person, and it's the person that makes the show, man. And that's what you did, brother, and that's what you do with your books. You capture and you intrigue people, and people can feel your heart. They feel your soul through what you do. And I think if you're a good person, you'll always be successful. And I think something big's coming up for you, and hopefully all of us will be together doing something, man.
You know, I always love talking with you guys, because you always pump me up so well. I always feel good after I talk to you guys.
And besides, we're all going to go to Hawaii together.
Yeah.
There we go. Just got to bring the SPF 50 or 5,000 for me.
You and me both, man. I don't tan, I don't burn, I implode.
Yeah, I have two tones. I have pale white and bright red.
But I tell you what, man, thanks so much for coming on tonight, Patrick. I know you're trying to get home. We will definitely have you back on when you're stationary and we can talk longer.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Sorry about that. I thought we were going to have signal the whole way, but those mountains.
Hey, it happens. Life of an adventurer, baby.
That will do. And, like, answer another question. It's like, you can't hold me down. I'm always working on the next, so we'll see what happens.
Well, you know you're welcome here anytime, Patrick, and the next time we get together, we got to go hunt us some Bigfoot.
Yep. If you guys come here, or if, like, Sean, like, you emailed me earlier, or if I go there,
yep,
we'll do something.
Sounds good, brother.
All right, man. Drive home safe, and we will talk to you again very soon.
Definitely, for sure, and thanks, guys.
Thank you, Patrick. And folks, don't forget Patrick's new book. And, and Sean, guess what time it is?
It's that time, buddy. It's time to pay the bills.
It is. Oh, my gosh. It's that time already. Hey, Patrick, we had to bring your mic down there for a second, but we really appreciate you coming on tonight, and we love you, and we will talk to you soon, brother.
Yeah, talk to you both soon.
All right. Have a safe ride, right, ride home.
Hey, guys. Okay. Thanks, Patrick.
All right,
man.
Talk to you.
Bye, buddy. Well, special thanks to tonight's guest, Patrick Doyle. Special thanks to our carriers, 102.7 FM, The Hog, Stitcher, Smart Radio, Planet Paranormal, Action Audio Apps. Are you listening? Are you listening? Check them out, guys. ActionAudioApps.net. They want to know. Creative Commons, Midnight Syndicate, FreeMusicArchives.org. Thanks for the tunes. Hey, from the haunted backroads of America, this has been another G&D exclusive interview. Don't go changing, America. You know we won't. Demon Hunter.
Because we love you.
Oh, what a show. Good night, guys.